listener production.
Please leave your message after the tone.
Why am I jealous of my ex?
I am so stressed all the time.
How do I get into a routine?
Is TikTok making me anxious?
I think I'm being manipulated.
Someone told me you could live with half a brain.
This is Do You Fucking Mind? Mindset Hacks for a Badass Life, hosted by me, Alexis Fernandez.
Hello, my beautiful beans. Welcome to the episode of today. So in today's episode, I'm going to be talking about how to stop inviting drama into your life. And I know what a lot of you guys are thinking. Who the fuck wants to invite drama into their life? That's not something that people do willingly. And look, I would say that a really small percentage of us actually like to invite drama into our life actively. They're normally people that are quite bored. They're normally people who are super dissatisfied with their life. And the only time that they have fun is when there's like issues and drama and gossip. I'm not even talking about those people. Because I think that those people actually enjoy it. So they're not going to want to stop inviting drama into their life. I'm talking about the people that are like, why the fuck does this shit keep happening to me? Why do I find myself always, it feels like you're always magnetized to energy vampires, people always gossiping and including you in the gossip, you feeling like you somehow got implicated in something dramatic and you didn't even mean to and you don't know what's going on. All your relationships are really catty and chaotic. I'm talking about that shit. How do you stop doing that? And yeah, I know that I've referred to it as inviting drama into your life, but how do you stop finding yourself in these positions? So, because I can guarantee you that once you start becoming aware of patterns, processes, things that you lean into versus things that you don't lean into, actions versus inactions, once you become aware of these patterns, you can turn it around to be like, wow, when I was younger or a couple of years ago, all these things and people would gravitate to me and I always found myself in the center of all these problems and dramas and now my life is drama-free, okay? So it's not saying that you're actively choosing to do this and you're at fault and this and that, but there's a lot of things that you can do right now to remove yourself from, you know, having a drama-filled life where there's always fights, gossip, bullshit, lies, all of that and more. Basically, step one is to listen to this episode and it will definitely help you. And especially if you're someone who's in like a really catty, fucked up group where people are constantly talking behind each other's backs and stuff like that, I'm going to be talking about why that does actually invite even more drama into your life, even if you try and not be involved in all the shit that goes down. Okay, little life update. Not too much to update you on other than the fact that so obviously you're listening to this episode. This is coming out on a Tuesday only because it was a public holiday on Monday. I don't think it's ideally, I try not to release episodes on public holidays because people are not in their normal routine. So it's better to release it when someone's going to be, you know, in their normal routine or commuting or doing something. And also I'm moving the Friday episode to a Thursday episode instead, just to trial that for a change. Okay. That's kind of the life update. Super excited about the live show, by the way, for those of you that are coming to the live show. I cannot wait. I'm so excited. That's really all there is to say. I'm not going to bang on about it too much. And then I've got some other exciting, like fun things coming up that I'm, pumped to share with you. But life is good. All is well. All is well in the world. I had like a pet hate that I was going to share with you guys, but it's totally slipped my mind and I'm really annoyed because I love sharing a pet hate. But anyway, that I'm just clearly just loving life too much that there's no pet hate. Now, I am going to go into a little science fact, a little brain science fact, and that is how pathogens are destroyed within the body. This is going to be a short and sweet, simple look into how pathogens, like antigens, are destroyed within the body. So basically, a pathogen is a disease-causing mechanism, okay? So it's like a virus, it's a bacteria, it's a fungus, something that's going to cause disease within the body. Now, this process of the body breaking down a pathogen so it doesn't kill you, basically, requires recognition, adherence, engulfment, and intracellular killing. Sounds pretty fucking badass. Now, let's look at the cells that are involved. So when you look at your blood cells, you've got your red blood cells, which of course transport oxygen, and then you've got lymphocytes and phagocytes. So if you were to look under a microscope, you would tell what they are just by looking at them. They have a different structure under a microscope. So we're going to start with lymphocytes. And a lot of you have likely heard of lymphocytes, but maybe in a different terminology. So lymphocytes under a microscope have like quite a large nucleus in the body of the cell. And these are the guys that have antibodies. So remember when the whole COVID thing was going around, there's all these like, you know, animated or like, you know, these generated images of what like COVID looks like and what an antibody looks like. And the antibody always looked like a Y shape, okay? So imagine these lymphocytes are these cells with all these little Ys kind of stuck in them with all these antibodies, okay? And a pathogen has antigens on them. So imagine that a pathogen has spikes on it and then the lymphocyte has the antibodies on it. So you've got antigens, which are the spikes, and antibodies, which are these Ys, and the antibody clicks onto the spike so that way it can perform an action or do something to try and destroy this antigen or this pathogen that's entered the body. Now, keep in mind that lymphocytes all have different antibodies. So there's a whole bunch of different antibodies and a whole bunch of different lymphocytes. It's not one antibody fits all. That's why when you are first exposed to a new infection, virus, bacteria, whatever, your body, for the most part, doesn't just destroy it straight away. It's got to go through this whole process of figuring out what's the right antibody that I need. Do I need to build it? How can I find it? And then I've got to mass produce it and then I can go and kill this thing. So it's definitely not an instant thing for the body. It takes a while because there's so many lymphocytes and antibodies that exist. But basically when the antibody attaches to the antigen of the pathogen is destructed, and it can happen in several ways. One of them is that this attaching can cause the enzyme, this particular enzyme, to split open the pathogen cell membrane. So basically the pathogen cells just gets broken and then it can't perform in the way that it's supposed to perform and it essentially dies. It can't have the, you know, it can't perform the act on the human body that it would like to. The second one is that the binding makes it easier for a phagocyte, which I'm going to explain in a second, to locate this pathogen and destruct it, or it can make them all clump together. And when they are all clumped together, it's a lot harder for them to move around the body. It's a lot harder for them to perform their action and, you know, be destructive within the human body and take over other cells and shit like that. And then, of course, because they all clump together, it's easy to be located and destroyed by other, you know, functions of the body. Back to this, what we're talking about, specific antibody made by a specific lymphocyte. Once the antibody is determined, this is the antibody that we need, this antibody can, you know, connect to the antigen and destroy this pathogen, then something called a memory cell is produced, all right? So copies. There's all these copies. It's like a memory cell that's produced and it's stored within the body, within, you know, the nervous system. And if that pathogen enters again, it immediately produces the antibody that is needed, okay? Because of these memory cells, because we remember this has happened before. We know exactly. We just go to the filing cabinet, bang, whip it out, bang, produce, mass produce, bang, we kill it, okay? That is referred to as immunity. You are now immune. And that's the whole premise behind, you know, fucking vaccines and shit like that. So if you think, oh, well, what about people that are getting the flu every single year? We're talking about different strands of something where the body still has to produce and create a slightly different antibody to fight that thing. But there's also a lot of diseases that you can be completely immune to because you've been vaccinated against, where there are not other strands and you've built up the antibodies. You've got this memory cell within the body that's produced because you've already had to fight this thing. You've already had to work with this thing. Okay. So that literally that is the premise behind getting a vaccination. Now, the other one is the phagocyte. So I spoke about the different cells when you look under a microscope. Under a microscope, a phagocyte looks like they've got this unusually non-round shape in the nucleus. They look quite weird under a microscope. So this is what I consider the fun one. This is the murderer of the group, okay? It murders pathogens. So what happens is, I already said, you've got this lymphocyte, which basically makes it easier for the phagocyte to identify this thing. The phagocyte wobbles its way over to this pathogen, right? And then it starts to reach like the blob starts to reach around the pathogen and then sucks it into the cell. It literally engulfs it. So the pathogen still exists. It's still alive, but it's now engulfed within this phagocyte cell. Okay. And this is now called that bit inside the phagocyte is now called a phagosome. Okay. When it's like surrounded by the membrane of this phagocytic vesicle. Now, once inside the cell, this phagosome fuses with something called a lysosome, which is then called a phagolysosome, believe it or not. And this thing, this phagolysosome, contains all these antibacterial molecules that kill and digest this microbe. So it gets engulfed. It then attaches to this thing and then it gets murdered inside this cell. And this is what is referred to intracellular killing. It is killed within the cell. It is tidy. It is neat. It's not causing all these, you know, bits of debris throughout the nervous system. It's done within the cell. So it's clean, tidy, neat, and it's not causing unnecessary inflammation or other shit that could go down in other ways that cells can be destroyed within the body, like with fever, for example. Fever can destroy cells, but it also causes a lot of havoc and damage within the body to other cells. But this is a really clean way of killing something within the body. And this can be carried out by nitric oxide, hydrogen peroxide, reactive oxygen species, things like that. And then any remaining particles after it's been destroyed, there's all these like leftover bits of the crime scene. They just get spat out of the cell because they're harmless. These little particles are harmless. They get spat out and then it gets cleared out through the body. And then that same phagocyte then blobs over to another pathogen and does the same shit. Okay. So that is how the body basically deals with pathogens, how the body destroys pathogens, a simple look in. And these are cells within the blood, white blood cells. Okay. Cool beans. So that is the interesting science fact for the day. Now let's get straight into the episode topic of the day. We're going to go through a range of things that you can do to not invite drama into your life. Now, like I said, there are some people that seek it out and thrive off the drama. And we probably all know people like that. And these people, look, the more I've done this podcast, the longer that I do this podcast, the longer that I, you know, the amount of people that I've received messages from that I've, whether I've interacted with them back or whether I've just read their emails or messages or whatever, you start to realize, as if I didn't already know this, but you start to realize more and more that people and relationships are extremely complex. It's very easy from the outside to be like, you know, don't associate with these people, cut these people out, this and that. But that's really difficult because humans are multifaceted. Like I've got people in my life who, while I probably wouldn't be having them as a close friend because they may be completely unreliable, I probably would never share something intimate with them because I can't trust them as far as I can throw them, as far as keeping a secret. But they're also people that are like, okay, you don't have great qualities when it comes to that, but you're also fucking hilarious, a great time. We've shared some good memories. I'm not going to cut you out of my life completely, okay? So when I talk about dealing with people like this and whatever, unless someone's actually unhealthy to have in your life and really abrasive or awful or mean, you don't necessarily have to be cutting people out. I think the most important thing when it comes to dealing with people is to understand people. The better you can understand people, the better you know how to deal with them, you know? And the same goes for expectations. The better you understand somebody, the better you can manage your expectations around this person. I don't have the same expectations that I have for Liv, my best friend, who has a track record of being trustworthy, there for me. Like, oh, we've got a track record with each other. There's a lot of expectation on each other because we have built this reputation with each other and with our friendship. I don't have those expectations on somebody who I've never been able to trust. So if someone who I don't trust then goes and flakes on me for the 100th time or goes and says something, you know, behind my back about me or spreads something that I told them, yeah, it's disappointing, but I'm not like, oh my God, I'm fucking dying. This is terrible because you've got to manage your expectations. It's like, why would I put these expectations on this person when they've given me no reason to trust them or to believe otherwise versus, yeah, fair enough. I would be devastated if my best friend Liv did that. So I think the more you can seek to not control, not, you know, have to have a perfect resume of friends, but just understand people, the easier it's going to be to manage your relationships. And drama in your life I think a lot of the time comes down to poor management of your relationships. And most of that is just subconscious. We don't even realize that we're fucking managing these things poorly because we're not aware of it. We haven't, like, sometimes it just takes being aware and then you're like, oh my God, this is so fucking obvious. But it comes down to poor management, lack of boundaries, which again is poor management, lack of standing up for yourself, which is technically a lack of boundaries, and lack of being able to see what's good for you and what's not good for you. So let's go into that so you can ultimately start becoming aware of things to look out for within your life and within your relationships. Because drama in your life purely comes down to relationships. Drama is not caused by things, it's caused by people. Okay. So once you can learn how to deal with your relationships, you can eliminate a lot of fucking drama in your life. Okay. Now, I have someone in my life who, she's a very close friend of mine, and she, it's just fucking fascinating because you might see yourself in this story. This person in my life, very close to me, she was once in a really unhealthy relationship with friends and with her romantic partner. Just like your typical unhealthy relationship, very controlling, very, I hate to say that it's typical because it, I wish it wasn't like a common thing, but yeah, like your typical standard textbook unhealthy relationship, really controlling, a lot of fighting, a lot of like, there was a power play, all of that. And she, because she had these unhealthy relationships, despite the fact that she had healthy relationships within some of her friends, I noticed that she was constantly, she constantly had these people in her life that were so fucking intense. I'm talking people that barely knew her from work would be calling her saying, you know, I can't continue my life anymore. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm desperate. I'm like really heavy, really loaded relationships. She'd felt all this guilt. She wouldn't know what to do. Do I need to call the police? What do I have to do? Like freaking out. Someone she had met for just like 2 weeks. And I'm like, wow, that's really fucking hectic. That was really intense that you went through that, whatever. Give it a couple of months later, the same fucking shit, this really intense relationship. She then moves places, lives with a housemate who's so fucking intense, who's dumping all her shit on my friend constantly. And I'm just like, you are unintentionally a magnet to these fucking people. What the fuck is going on? After she got out of that relationship and after she ended a few unhealthy friendships, they stopped being attracted to her. People who have clear boundaries, whether they show it to your face or not, there's something to be said for energy. There's a lot to be said for energy. When you can hold very, very fucking clear boundaries, when you have a strict line of how you're willing to be treated and you teach people how to treat you and there's no dipping below the bare minimum baseline, when all of that is in play, when you don't have one person who's abusing you and one person who's treating you lovely, but you're not accepting abuse, full stop, then you'll notice that people don't look at you as someone that they can walk over anymore. Now, notice that when I'm talking about here, a lot of it is not intentional. You're not wanting to be walked over. But unfortunately, when you are walked over, you are an easy target. It fucking sucks and it's mean, but that's life, okay? So I also found that when I've been in relationships that are emotionally abusive, I also find myself getting fucked over in other situations because I'm less likely to be able to stand up for myself. I'm more likely to cop shit, okay? So keep that in mind as I go through this episode as well. So let's talk about a bunch of things that you can start to do so you can work through how to limit drama in your life, okay? How to stop inviting drama into your life. So the first thing that I want you to do is be very careful with interactions with people who thrive on drama. Like I said earlier, you don't have to cut them out of your life, but you need to be very fucking careful. For example, I've got some friends, acquaintances, who love to gossip. They fucking love it. And the moment you give an inch, they'll fucking take a mile. The moment you're like, yeah, true, this person did say that, they'll be like, oh, blah, 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 blah. And then before you know it, you're engulfed in this bitching about somebody that you're like, oh, I really didn't want to bitch about this person. I literally just wanted to raise one minor frustration. And now I'm kind of involved in this bitching argument. And if this gets out, it's going to look really terrible because I don't mean any of this. And I don't like, and then you kind of feel like, fuck, yet again, I've fallen into this trap where I've just been bitching about this person because I'm mainly just nodding and agreeing, but do I agree? And I feel really uncomfortable. So you need to pay attention. Who are these people who love to bitch? Don't give an inch. If you want to listen to them bitch, go for gold. But the best thing you can do is to sit there. This is if you still want to interact with these people because they still add value to your life. That's fine. But you need to sit there and you cannot give a thing. You can be like, if they start talking about it, you can be like, oh, really? What happened? Like, for example, with me, when someone tries to bitch about somebody, I will say, especially if I'm not, there's no fucking way I'm going to talk about this person, I will say, oh, I didn't see that. That's really interesting. I haven't noticed that or whatever. A lot of the time it's because I haven't seen it and I haven't noticed it. But it's also really good to protect yourself, to be like, I'm not engaging in this, you know? And a really good way of showing that you're not engaging is to say, I'm not aware of it. I'm genuinely not aware of it. And they're like, haven't you seen it? Haven't you noticed this? Haven't you whatever? And you could be like, oh, maybe. I've just not put much thought into it. You can kind of like steer it that way. And then if they keep pressing it, you just shrug, say, you know what? I don't know. And then they're going to pick up like this person does not want to engage in the bitching. Now, having said that, I am going to say that I think it's important to have your core inner circle of people that you can vent to. Not everything negative that you say about someone is bitching and gossiping. You can vent. If I have had a problem with someone in my life, I've got my top four people between like Tyrone, Liv, and some relatives that I can comfortably and very safely in a very safe space vent, being like, oh my God, I've had this problem and this is fucking frustrating and I can't believe they said it. Get it off my chest. I think it's healthy to do that. But it's got to be with someone that you really fucking trust. And you can't be doing this with 30 fucking thousand people because then it is bitching. Then you're spreading. Then you're talking shit about somebody else. I'm talking about who can I let this off my chest, who's going to be a good sounding board, who sometimes is probably going to talk me off the ledge, who might even talk sense to me. I'm not looking for someone to bitch back so we end up hating on someone. I'm looking to vent and have a sounding board. So that is okay. I'm not saying be some saint, go get blessed by the fucking Pope, never say a bad word about anyone ever again in your life. I'm not saying that. We're fucking human. We vent. I vent. We all fucking vent. Okay. That's okay. I'm talking about bitching. So you need to limit your interaction with people who thrive of drama, people who thrive of gossip. A lot of the time, people are going to get you to say one thing and grab onto that. So now they're like, I've got you. I know you said that thing. I know you've bitched about this person. You've bitched about your best friend. And I now have this intel into you. I now have this information about you. Don't give that shit away. It's so unnecessary and you never feel good after. You never feel good. Reserve that burning frustration to the core people that you trust. You should be able to limit that core down to a select few people. They should fit on one hand. If it's more than that, reassess, okay? The next thing is don't overanalyze people's actions. I think it's really easy to have to invite drama into your life when you're overanalyzing people's actions, you know, in the sense that someone might say or do something and then you second guess it. Then you start asking them, well, what did you mean by that? Like, I noticed that you didn't put whatever at the end of this text message or you did that. You start overanalyzing it. You start questioning yourself. You start speaking to other people about it. And before you know it, people are like, nothing actually happened and you're turning drama out of nothing. Like you're reading too far into it. You know, less is more. If someone is short with me, instead of going around to all my friends and saying why, you know, if Liv was short with me, either I'm like, she obviously needs some space. She's tired or busy or whatever. Or I go straight to the source and I say, hey, I noticed that you fucking blew up at me. Is everything okay? Whatever. But what I'm not going to do is call up every single one of my friends and start to analyze Liv's behavior and be like, she fucking did this and she did that. What do you think this means? Is she pissed off? What happened? Blah, 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 blah. And just, you know, getting everyone's fucking inside, overanalyze this, overanalyze that. That's cause for more drama. Gossipers attract gossipers. So if you set your own reputation, you create your own reputation. I'm not going to stand here and lie and say that gossiping can't be, you know, everyone likes to listen in on gossip. We just don't like to be the ones that were involved in it. And we don't like to be so closely involved or the culprit of it. But who doesn't like a scandal? Why the fuck do we like TV shows where there's all these crazy scandals and gossip? We love a juicy story. We just don't want to be too close to the fire. So you have to decide what am I willing to lose here? Do I want to be really close to the fire because it's really entertaining, but then I can get burnt and then I ruin my reputation? Or am I willing to sacrifice some of that entertainment for a good reputation and for strong, stable, healthy relationships for a little bit less drama in my life? So it's you've got to weigh it up, because I'm not going to stand here and say, oh my God, everyone hates gossip. That's bullshit. People fucking love gossip. But you've got to be careful when it comes to that. And you've got to be really, the thing that has to come out on top is the value that you put on your reputation which can be broken like that, and the value that you put on your relationships. You got to really pay close attention to those things, especially with reputation. It takes years to build one, and to build a good one, and it can be broken relatively quickly. And unfortunately, the other way around is so much harder. It can take years to build a bad reputation, and to turn a bad reputation into a good reputation takes a very, very long time. So to damage a good reputation, it's overnight. To damage a bad reputation and make it good takes a while. So if you're known as a gossiper, I can tell you it will take months and months and months and months and months of you being like so out of the drama for you to change that reputation. So it's up to you what kind of reputation you want. The next thing is that on matters that don't directly involve you, it is okay to be Switzerland. It's okay to stand and say, I actually don't want to be involved in this. Separate to what I said about when you're talking about like, oh, I didn't see that, I didn't whatever. It's, you could say, like, and I've said this before to my friends, I've said, look, I'm actually really close with both of you. I don't want to get involved. And if that means that you don't want to share things with me, I understand that. But also, I'm not telling you what so-and-so said, and I'm not going to tell so-and-so anything you say. So I am a safe space, but please know that I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to be sharing any information either way. I'm not. And when I have done that, people I think are A, more careful to tell me what they're going to tell me because they realize that I respect the other person. So anything that they do tell me is often just, it's just that this happened. So they still end up trusting me, but they also don't do it in a way where it's, you know, trying to sabotage the other person. They do it more of like, yeah, but I just want you to know the real story. And I'm like, you're welcome to tell me what you think went down, but I'm not going to stand here and hear you bitch about the other person or try and get you. Like, I'm not getting involved. So I think it's really respectful when people do that. And I've had issues with friends in the past, and I've spoken to other friends about it, and they've said the same to me. They've said, look, I don't want to get in between it. And I'm like, no, you're not getting in between it, but am I allowed to just explain from my perspective what I think's gone down? And they're like, yeah, of course. So I'll do that. But they're not giving me any intel from what's happening from the other side. And I kind of really respect that. I'm like, instead of this turning into like a big fight, it's just me using you as a sounding board kind of thing. And that's the massive difference between having friendships that are actually trying to fix the issue or having friendships that are trying to exacerbate the issue. When you've got a bunch of insecure people that like to fight each other, you're going to notice that whenever there's a divide, other people are going to jump in and try and create that divide to be even bigger because it strengthens their ego. If I can be in the middle of two people fighting, who's the star of the show? Me. Right? I can have your attention. I have your attention. It's better when there's a bit of drama because people are coming to me. When everything's peaceful and calm, there's a bit less attention on certain people. That's why a lot of people do crave the drama, or they gravitate towards this drama because there's more attention on certain individuals within the dynamic. Okay. So really pay close attention to those friendship dynamics where there is a lot of emphasis on, you know, exacerbating the gossip and you know, continuing the gossip. Okay. So the next thing to remember is that the more you feed it, the more it will come. So unfortunately, when it comes to, like I was talking about my friend who would always attract all these like dramas and whatever, you know, and these like really, really hectic people, I would always say to her, I'm like, I feel like you will listen intently to every single person's life drama, life issues. You know, you have to draw the line somewhere. It's not to say that you can't care about other people. Absolutely, you can care about other people, but you have to protect yourself here and there. Like if there's someone who is always going to you and it's like they're a bit of an energy vampire. It's like dump, 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 dump. Anyway, say your bye and leave. You have to learn how to kind of like put a bit of a boundary there and protect yourself. That's not a friendship. That's someone who's like, here's someone who'll fucking listen to all my shit. Oh, here's all my drama. Here's my negative energy. I've just like sucked all the life out of you. And then I'm just going to walk away. And then you see them able to have fun with other people. Ah, oh, how their life's like, I never get that side of you. I just get the dump, the trauma dump basically. And I don't get any, you know, so you're basically using me as this like garbage bin for all your shit. And then you go and have fun with other people who are not going to put up with your shit. And that's all well and good if you've got a close friendship and if this friendship has, you know, legs to stand on their own. But if your entire relationship is based around them having a meltdown to you and then walking away, like the example of my friend who would always attract these people who was just like chaos, that's when you need to fucking draw a line. it is okay to protect yourself. You are not responsible for fixing other people's problems. And a lot of people might see you as a fixer and they're going to gravitate to you because they want you to harbor all their emotions. They can dump it onto you. So in those scenarios, I think niceness can be confused with weakness and people will really take advantage of that. And it's such a shame. And I really hate that. I really hate that phrase, but it's a very true phrase, you know, confusing your kindness for weakness. People do that all the time and it sucks. And I hate that it's the truth, but that's just what it is. So in situations like that, I think it's really important to be able to learn how to draw a line. How do you draw a line? There's many ways that you can draw a line in that situation. You can blatantly just be like, I'm not going to be able to talk today. I've got a lot of things on. There's going to be that, or you could address it directly. You could address it in the sense of like, I'm not able to help you. I know you've come to be seeking help, but I know I'm not able to help you. I can't have this conversation because there's nothing I can do about it. You can talk about it as, I mean, I think personally the best thing you can do is to speak directly to the person saying, listen, this is you've come to speak to me about this a few times. I don't know you that well. I'm not able to help you. And I feel like our conversations are always around the same thing about something that I can't help. If you feel really uncomfortable doing that, then I would just find ways of saying, I don't have the time to talk to you right now. I've got to go. I've got to go. I'm busy. I'm this, I'm that, because I think it's really rich of people to expect you to put up with, you know, all this shit, but they're not willing to do anything ever in return. You know, they're taking your time as well. Another thing is, whenever possible, mind your own business. Fuck around and find out. So the more you're going to fuck around, the more you're sticking your nose where it doesn't belong, the more you're going to find out. And you're also going to find out in ways that you don't want to find out. You're going to implicate yourself. You're going to get involved. That's people that love to circulate around gossip, drama, all that shit. And then you become part of it. Okay. If ever there's anything going on, if I hear people like, you know, laughing about something, this and that, if someone doesn't want to actively involve me in a conversation, I'm not going to ask. Even to the extent, I used to do this all the time. And it was, you know, when someone's like showing someone something on their phone, okay? They're like, oh my God, this thing happened. And they pull up this thing on their phone and they show one person at the table. And then everyone's like, show me, oh my God, what? Show me. Who's the attention on? The cunt that's holding the phone and they love it. So then they're like, So then I'm like, if someone's not actively wanting to engage me in a conversation, I'm not going to sit here and beg. Okay. So then I started doing it less and less. If they're not going to show me the phone, there's a fucking reason for it. I'm not here to ask. Okay. We're supposed to be in a 50-50 dynamic. I'm not going to sit here and beg to like, fuck off, cunt. Like, fuck off. So that, this is just an example of what a lot of people like to do. They'll hoard things so they can get more attention. So less is more. If we're having a legitimate conversation, they're probably going to want to show me whatever it is that they were trying to share. If they're trying to get attention, they're going to show it to one person and want other people to ask them. That's when you don't ask. This is where I mind my own business. If it's not meant for my eyes, it's not fucking meant for my eyes. If you don't want me to see it without me begging for it, then I guess I'm just never going to see it. It's not that difficult. And then, funnily enough, when you do that, then people are like, oh, did you want to see it? And then I'll be like, sure, why not? And then they'll show me. Or I'll say, oh, no, I don't. Fucking over it. You know, so it's little things like that. It's tiny, subtle things that people realize, oh, this person isn't addicted to the drama. This person like is above that, really. They're kind of not going to be engaging in this like game that we're trying to play. The same as like you hear something going on. Oh, what? Who said what? Tell me more. What? Unless someone is actively saying, hey, Alexis, did you hear about this? I'm going to tell you this. Then of course I'm going to listen, but I'm not going to be digging and hunting and digging and hunting. If it's not meant for me, it's not meant for me. If I have to go hunting for the gossip, then it was not meant for me. If it lands on my lap, okay, fine. I'm going to listen to it. That's perfectly fine. But you prying and digging and prying, unless, like I said earlier, the disclaimer, unless it's a very close friend of yours and you're checking in on a situation that impacted them, that's very different, like a fight that they might've had in your camp. But about when you're talking about people that are not related to you, then I would just absolutely, less is more, I would back away. That is where you need to mind your own business, because it's all fucking fun and games until you find yourself implicated, until you're involved and you've been caught saying something bad about someone else or spreading some shit, or, you know, someone told you a secret and you ended up telling someone else. That's not fun. when that happens. That's damaging to friendships. It's damaging to relationships. It's not fun. And then the last thing is, whenever possible, try and make gossip stop with you. If someone tells me a piece of information, the last thing I'm going to do is to tell the person who that information is about. This is the number one way. This is the last thing I want to talk about, so I can put that iPad away. This is the number one way that people invite drama into their life. So I'm sitting with a group of friends. A friend comes over and says, oh my God, that person is so fucking annoying. They're so annoying. I can't handle them. They're doing my head in. I then walk over to the other person saying, oh my God, do you know what so-and-so just said about you? They really think that you're annoying. They're blah, 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 blah. And then it's like, why would you do that? Why would you do that? I don't think it's ever fair, ever, unless you think it's actually like imperative that this person know because they're going to make a decision and this impacts how they're going to make that decision, you know, like, and you guys know what I mean. Like I'm talking about, unless it's super, 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 super imperative, I think it's really unfair to be sharing that kind of information about someone. And that is how you invite drama into your life. In the past, it's happened to me where a good friend of mine had said something about me behind my back. Nothing major. They just had a bitch about me. Another friend overheard it, comes over to me and says, oh my God, so-and-so just said something about it. Do you want to know? And I said, no, I don't want to know. And then that put this person in an extremely uncomfortable position because it made them be like, fuck, now I look like a gossip. And now I look like, and the way I said it was like, the reason I don't want to know is because this person's a good friend of mine. I'm presuming that what she said was probably out of frustration. She was venting. And I also think that she didn't intend for it to get to me. And now you look bad. You know, I don't want to hear it from someone else. I want to hear it from their mouth directly. Okay. And then you do that. Then you can go directly to the source or not at all. Sometimes I'd rather not hear what people say about me because a lot of the time things are completely taken out of context. And most gossip, bitchiness, drama is things that have been taken out of context, Chinese whispers and all of that. I think if you can really understand humans in the sense of like so often we will say something that gets taken out of context. It's happened to us. How many times have we been the victim when we said something and it's been completely misconstrued and then it sounds awful when you hear it back and you're like, oh my God, if this spread, I'd look like the biggest fucking wanker. It's happened to all of us. So I think it's really important to be like, I've got to take everything with a grain of salt. I've got to go straight to the source whenever possible. And if I'm the person who's heard information, how imperative is it of me to tell the other person? Because really, all you're doing is hurting the person that you're telling. For what? Because you want to be the source of information. You want to be the center of attention. You want to be the person that heard it here first. But don't. I would rather be a little bit more boring, but the person people come to who they can trust, then be a little bit more exciting, but the source of drama that no one trusts and all I get is gossip, but I don't get real fundamental, important information that friends want to share with me. So you can't have both. You can't have both. One, you invite drama into your life. You attract these certain people. You're allowing people to walk all over you. So then more people use you, you know, use your kindness for weakness. They dump all this shit onto you. You know, you're unable to set boundaries and you end up having self-esteem issues. And then the only way you're going to get attention from a particular friendship group is to be talking about this exciting gossip, blah, 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 blah. And the other is to set boundaries, not spread gossip, not get involved with gossip, only vent, and you can call it gossip, whatever, to like your select few of people that you trust extremely highly. Apart from that, you're not getting into it. You're not trying to stick your nose in other people's businesses. You're sitting back. Initially, it can feel like a bit of a detox and it feels a bit difficult, but I can guarantee you in the long run, you'll be a lot more relaxed. You have no drama in your fucking life. Your self-esteem goes up. Your confidence goes up. Your confidence within yourself and your comfort within your own skin goes up. You're like, I don't need this to feel good about myself. I can just sit here and comfortably feel good about myself. People notice that you respect yourself. They're less likely to walk all over you. They're less likely to use you, you know, like you're not going to attract energy vampires. They're not going to, you know, use you to dump all their information and then walk away. They're going to try and find a different victim or a different target. And then because of that, you get implicated less and less and less and less and less and less and less into gossip. And then when that happens, you get less people coming to you about gossip. Okay. You talk about legitimate things. You talk about fundamental things. It's not that, you know, in my girlfriends, we don't talk about issues that go down within the group. Of course we do, but it's not in a gossiping way. It's not in a, oh my God, this person's fucking done by canceling them. Ah, ha, ha, is this, is that. We talk about it. It's like, why did this conversation happen and why? And what do you think caused that? How can we mend this? It's more in like a problem solving way. So it's not saying you can't talk about anyone behind their back, but make it productive. How can you help the situation? This is not about spreading shit and pitting people against each other. That's what drama is. It is okay to discuss issues without that person if you've all got like a common goal of mending. But when you're trying to pit people against each other because it serves your image, then that's what you want to be veering away from. If you're listening to this episode at the 40 whatever minute mark, then you definitely want to be veering away from that. If you're someone that gravitates to gossip and you fucking love and you can't get enough of it, you would not have stayed until the end. That is for fucking sure. Guys, that is all for today's episode. Love you guys so much. Good times. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for listening. As always, love you guys so much. I think I already said that. But yeah, remember, be kind to yourself, be kind to your brain. Don't take shit from anyone, and especially don't take shit from yourself. Don't care. Listener.